Hello everybody, this is the translation of Pascal Girard's message for Sunday, the 16th of May, 40 days after Easter. The reading will be taken from Acts chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." You know, it wouldn't take a lot of paper to summarize the most important points of the Christian faith. It's not as long and difficult a task as you might think before you get down to it. But sometimes we take the time to read books and long articles with a certain interest without always discerning the gist. So if you have the courage to do it, you write, you justify, you persuade yourself, but maybe you should start simply by just saying, what is what? The union of our churches attempted a confession of faith. At the same time, it's ours. In addition, it is short, brings together essential features of the Christian faith. But it's not unique. I mean, other unions, federations, churches have other texts that we could really join. I can even try to summarize this digest of faith. We believe in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, creator of all things. We believe in Jesus Christ, true God and true man, who gave his life for us, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, the only way of salvation. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who communicates the truth and the life of the Son to those whom the Father has called. The Church is made up of all those whom Christ has reconciled to God. We want to love our brothers and sisters in Christ and to proclaim the gospel, without which there is no salvation, and to love our neighbour. We await the return of our Lord Jesus Christ to judge every creature and establish his reign. That's all. In each sentence I have quoted Jesus Christ. The essence of Christianity is Christ. It is Jesus who understands our world like no one else can, who was there from creation and who will come again in glory. Jesus who knows us humans, and each one of us individually, better than anyone else. Well, Jesus is taken up into heaven. The Jesus who came to our world as Saviour is the same today. He came into the world so that no one should perish, but that all may have eternal life. And now, from where he is before God, Jesus intercedes for the people who want to belong to him. And from there, directly from the Father, he communicates divine information to his people. He carries with his powerful word a reluctant, rebellious world. But everything that happens in the world is oriented towards the day when only Jesus will count. And nothing else. Nothing else has a future than that which is with Jesus. Perhaps you should try yourselves once to write down what is going on. The facts, just the facts, without trying to justify them. In doing this, you would surely notice that the basis of all that is, that makes things possible, makes them live, and leads them, is that Christ is seated at the right hand of the throne of the supreme God, according to the very words found in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. It's a fact. Christian faith is not a worldview, a religious edifice of thought designed by men. Christianity is essentially what Christ does, much more in what he does himself rather than what we are trying to do. Jesus acts, gives, works, preserves, leads, and we are to serve, take, receive, be led and preserved. We must trust him to make the decisions. Don't worry if this is difficult for us to apply. It shouldn't be surprising if you have to say, I can't handle this, it's too much for me. Our head is trained to categorize everything that we perceive with our senses. We often need explanatory aids, reference books, articles, lectures. We need support even more when it comes to divine facts. Jesus' crash course for his disciples lasted 40 days from the time of his resurrection to the time of his ascension. He appeared to them for 40 days and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. We come back once again to this reality of the kingdom of God that I have been talking about lately. Apparently, it was not enough that Jesus exposed to his disciples the kingdom of God, that he made them understand for 3 years the kingdom of God is like this or that, by presenting to them in particular the parable of the sower, of the good grain and tares, treasure and pearl, mustard seed. This seed is tiny, but it becomes a tree in the branches of which birds make their nests. No, it was not enough. Not enough to understand. We read in the book of Acts, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. We can understand truths intellectually without facing them in their harshness when they come true. The disciples had been shaken in their confidence by the death of Jesus. They needed to take stock. Even after this intensive 40-day tutoring session, Jesus' closest associates were on the wrong track. Otherwise, they would not have asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? This wasn't a stupid question, after all, but rather a question saturated with prophecies. But Jesus corrected them. You cannot know the moment, but the day will come when the Father will command in his power that the world come in which righteousness will dwell. The day will come when God will establish his kingship in this world. But until then, in this kingdom of God, which is already there, but not yet perfectly, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and when you will be my witnesses. And when he had said that, Jesus was taken up. Here again, the end is brutal. Well, that's what you might think at first glance. Let's go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. At that time, it was before his crucifixion, of course, Jesus said to his disciples, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. John 16, verses 12 and 13. We will see that later, said Jesus. For the moment, you cannot understand everything. With ascension, then Pentecost, the time has come for the disciples to be led into all truth. Even today, we live by the fact that Jesus corrects our interpretations of the truth, that he clarifies my incomprehension, that he gives us new perspectives, that he makes us see the word in a new light, that he teaches me invisibly by his Holy Spirit and warns me when I'm about to get lost in bad solutions. Among the people of God, it was said that all your children will be taught by the Lord. You read that in Isaiah 54, verse 13, and it's also quoted in John chapter 6, verse 45. It was further specified, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Isaiah 30, verse 21. But new times have arrived, the starting point of which is the ascension, the return of the Lord Jesus to the Father. We live under grace, we are free, free from the constraints introduced by society, free also from religious leaders. The cause of Jesus has a future. Didn't it seem special to you all the same? Jesus assumes with unshakable certainty that his teaching will continue. His teaching? With unwavering certainty, he assumes that the time will come when his Father will show all his power. Jesus accepts with joyful confidence that his weak disciples will be his witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, but also to the ends of the earth. So there you have it. Jesus did not depend on the results of the polls, for or against him in Jerusalem, the popularity curves in Samaria. Others need it today, but Jesus is sovereign by the grace of God, because God was and is satisfied with him. He is therefore at the Father's side. The Lord said to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet." Matthew chapter 22, verse 44. The testimony of Christians, Jesus will prove to be the strongest. It's not up to us to improve the popularity curve of Jesus. God takes care of that. It's already a lot if we do not unnecessarily burden the cause of Jesus. Jesus will never, ever be sucked into the whirlwind of insignificance. It manifested itself on the Mount of Olives before the eyes of the disciples in a way that could only be seen by human beings. Jesus was lifted up visibly. Then a cloud swept him away far from their eyes. One day, Moses on Mount Sinai entered the cloud that was above the mountain. The cloud was already a visible sign of the presence of God in those days, which no one has seen or can see. There on the Mount of Olives, it became clear to the limits of our capacity of recognition. Jesus ascends to his Father and to our Father, to his God and to our God. Since then, Jesus has been doing from the highest place what he has always done for people on this earth. He does so from an unassailable position. Just as he conquered Thomas's doubts, he is able to get people out of their doubts today. Just as Jesus of Nazareth once totally changed the life of tax collector Zacchaeus, he can do it with us today. Just as Jesus prayed for evildoers on the cross, so he now intercedes for us before God, as an approved defender and advocate. One day, Jesus, when sending his worried disciples to the cities of Galilee, decreed, "He who listens to you listens to me." More so, Jesus, elevated to the rank of God, can make our stammering indication of what is going on become something that Jesus can be seen with for all eternity. We are free from the anxious question of whether Jesus can really be relied upon, whether he is reliable, whether he has something to offer. God himself determined it. The cause of Jesus has a future. The cloud, a graceful and intelligible sign of the presence of God, carried Jesus, says the story, before their eyes, in front of their eyes. Jesus is not taken from us by the ascension event. Never, never. He is with God, for us. Amen.